then I just hit
all those things. I'll be listening while you do those things.
I did. I hit record. So already first voice out is Philip the Woodshed.
That's my sound test. I was doing an impersonation of my friend Mark.
That was pretty good. Your friend Phil? Philip the Woodshed?
Marcus Philip.
That's your sound test? Okay.
Yep.
My sound test is don't kill Bill Kiley, just kick him in the jimmies. Yep.
Nice.
Let me turn that down. Sorry. Hey, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of Just Be Cousins with me, one of the cousins, and my cousin. He's the other cousin, and we're cousins. Yeah, that's all
that's
I got
true.
For an intro. Yeah. So this is JBC, Just Cousins. I'm Jason Mark. That's Joe Neal. We are going to do the show. It's early in the morning right now, and it was earlier before, and then it got later, and now it's even later for you because you're going to listen to this well after we record it. Heck, you might not even listen to it at all, which is probably for the best. So for those of you out there who aren't listening, welcome to the best part of our show, which is not hearing it. I'm trying to be self-deprecating. I've been watching a lot of newsroom bloopers this morning as we got ready, Joe.
I think that's a good way to start the day.
Yeah.
Is just watching news anchors and
just
news
laughing.
Reporters.
Just giggling.
Fuck up and then laugh and laugh and laugh. I'm such a sucker for that.
Yes, I'm a sucker too. In the elephant in the room, he's actually not an elephant, nor is he in the room, is Philip the Woodshed is listening. He said he's not necessarily going to participate, but I think we could provoke him. The reason I'm telling folks this, Joe, that we have a listener as we're doing this, you know, live to hard drive, is that it may change the cadence because we'll be sort of playing to him, trying to provoke him. So if you're out there listening to this podcast, you're like, why are these guys talking like there's somebody listening? Well, now you know, because there's someone listening.
Well, let me say a few words about him. We've talked about him several times on the show. I mentioned that he's kind of a tough guy.
Yeah. I mentioned that I'm terrified of him.
He was the best man in my wedding.
I made a joke about Joe at his wedding that Marcus Philip the Woodshed was really I thought he was gonna kill me, but it's a good death.
And let's face it, Jason, he could probably whoop your ass.
What do you mean probably?
I can't remember if I've fought him before. I don't think I can take him. But Marcus the
Woodshed. What do you mean? Sorry. This is important. What do you mean you don't think you could take him? That's like saying, hey, if I played tennis against Serena Williams, I probably wouldn't win. I mean, no fucking duh. The guy splits wood. You would be the wood, and he would split you. Me, I wouldn't even be the wood. I'd be, you know, those little chips. You're splitting wood, and those little chips pop off, and they hit your kid in the eye. And you're like, on the one hand, you feel bad. Like, oh, no, my kid doesn't have an eye. On the other hand, you're like, well, that's tough. That's just tough. That's life in the mountains, boy. Suck it up.
Anyone who splits their own wood could probably kick my ass. They could definitely just plant.
Again, I'm sorry, Joe.
Axe in my skull and kill me too. The thing, I outweigh him and I fight dirty. Like, I fight sexually. I bite genitals. I bite genitals. I compliment people's sweaters while I'm fighting. I tell them that their sweaters make their eyes pop just to throw them off.
Yeah.
And then fucking elbow to the teeth.
Yeah.
And I don't think Marcus can take that type of, that's what I'm saying.
Really?
I fight dirty. He's a man of honor, but I think I could take him just because I outweigh him by probably 100 pounds. And that's because I'm fat.
But he's sinewy.
I'm getting less fat.
That's true.
But he's lean and mean, and I'm like Dom DeLuise, so I could like sit on him.
Every Twinkie you don't eat, Joe, is a punch Mark is not going to take to the face. You need to step up your game. Look, I don't know why we're talking about Mark and these – poor guy, Phil. Okay, and I could call him Mark. His real name is Phil. Philip the Woodshed. Get it? And he's more than just a guy you fight with. He's a dad, right?
Yeah, he's a dad. His kid is my godson, and his kid just went off to college, which is probably why. Yeah, that's probably why Mark is able to listen to the show live today because he's not dealing with dad stuff.
Dude, I thought he was in his 20s. He looks good for somebody that ancient. That old and decrepit.
Yeah, Mark does look good.
Yeah.
I want to say a couple things about Mark.
Okay. Like, what does he do for a living? besides
this
rent.
Is weird because he lives in the middle of the mountains. He's like a hermit, and his wife in the middle of the mountains.
Yeah.
And he chops his own wood. And so
he doesn't even need to chop wood. He just does it. He's got his house has a heater. He just goes out and chops wood. He's just walking around. He's like Johnny Appleseed, but with wood chopping. He's like Johnny Woodchopple. That's his. Anyway,
that was
sorry.
A terrible joke, Jason. How dare you?
What? No. What?
Not that it was offensive. It was just a poor joke. It wasn't funny.
Really? Okay. So that's what this episode is going to be. You can't fight Mark, so you're going to fight me? Dude, if you and I got in a fist fight, do you know how fast it would end? I wouldn't even have to throw a punch. I would just look at you and start to cry. And you would cry, and then we would hug each other. So don't give me this shit about a bad joke. Motherfucker, it's 7:45 in the goddamn morning on Sunday, okay? And yes, I would start
to cry, and then we would butt fucking make up.
I don't think I would be able to
kiss and make up.
No, I said hug. I didn't say butt fuck. But you know what? You do fight dirty, so, or sexually, so.
Look,
that was
a
good joke.
Callback because the just because thing, people make fun of us like we have sex with each other and we're in love with each other. So that's
who?
Where the butt fuck thing.
Who
came
makes
from.
That joke? I've never heard that joke.
The guy that reviewed our podcast on the podcast review podcast called Pod Gods. One, he was like, these guys sound like they're Southern and they sound like they fuck each other. And I was like, this review is astonishing, sir.
Wait
like,
a minute.
That has
I don't,
nothing to do with our show.
I blocked that out. They said they sound like they're I think he was trying to insult the South. Honestly, hey, if you live South.
Yes, he is. That's totally. And he's from Canada.
Fuck that guy and fuck Canada, except for the parts of Canada I like, which is everything except that guy. Look, they're getting
Dude,
off the subject.
We're going off the rails here.
We're going off the subject. This is
Check
not
it
how
out.
We. Okay.
Mark, Philip, the Woodshed. He's an old friend of mine. I've brought him up several times on the show. I put a clip in your Dropbox.
Okay, let me go
did
grab my box.
Did you find it?
You put something in my box?
I did. I put something in your box.
That's so very Southern of you. Let me go see.
Well,
here.
On one of our St. Paddy's Day episodes, we had our special guest, Willie McSillyputty.
Yep.
Who is a leprechaun friend of mine, and he does limericks, and we had him do a series of limericks. The thing is about Willie McSillyputty is that he can make up a limerick right off the top of his head. If you tell him a story or we're on some sort of topic, boom, he can just limerick.
Boom.
And yeah. I was telling stories about grown men shitting their pants. Do you remember this, Jason?
Several times.
Yeah, that's a theme on our show. We've brought that up many times. There's been many stories. One of them was a story about Mark. Well, okay, Philip. And in this case, he filled up his pants with poop. And that was a really terrible joke. I thought your joke was bad. That was fucking terrible.
You thought my joke was bad. I'm offended. No, seriously. He chops wood, right, all day, but he doesn't need to. That's more hardcore. That's a perfect joke. The irony is...
No, that joke was good. You said you tried to make a new name for him about, like, Johnny Appleseed, and you said something like Johnny Woodchopple Seed or something like that.
What's wrong with that? Johnny Woodchopple Seed. That's the name. Fuck you, Joe. That's the name of today's show. Episode 150. I mean, 138.
Son of a bitch.
You son of my dad's brother.
Hey, man.
Although Marky
did you find
Boy
it? No. Now, don't hit it yet. Let me tell you.
Marky Boy
I'm feeling antagonistic. No. I'm going to do things you don't like now.
Fuck you, Joey.
Man. I created this situation. I antagonized you, and now you're going to fuck with me the whole show.
That's right.
Okay, so your jokes are great, dude, every single time. Let me tell you.
Thank you. There's my boner. I appreciate it. Go
On
ahead
Marcus's birthday, we were all partying. We ran out of beer, mm-hmm. and we decided we needed to walk down the street. And
oh, I remember the story.
Yeah. So we walked down the street to go buy more beer. Now, this is the birthday boy, and he wanted to choose the beer that he was going to drink, of course. But he was super fucking loaded. He was loaded. And we walked down to the liquor store, and he was like rubbing his chin, looking at the beer, thinking, which beer should I buy? And suddenly he got this weird look on his face. I was standing right next to him, and then he kind of like slinked off, like sidestepped off into the bathroom because he had shat his pants while he was looking for beer.
Wow.
Now, this is a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
This is not the type of behavior that Marcus would
no.
would exhibit today. But I told this story to Willie McSillyputty on a St. Patty's Day episode, and he made a limerick, and here it is.
Although Marky Boy's birthday was popping, when the booze ran out, he went shopping. As Mark drunkenly thought about which beer should be bought, from his butt to his shorts, poop was dropping.
That's awesome. That happens so often to us old dudes, and he wasn't that old, but he was going to be old someday, so it was like foreshadowing. I wrote a thing about that, too.
About a man shitting his pants?
Well, no. No, but in the butt area, activity in the butt area. Insofar as farting is a form of masturbation for your nostrils that enjoy that fumy flatulation, you should consider the bigger picture when your anus goes on vacation and vacates the space of others who take that stank as tribulation, for it's a little egocentric to propagate a proliferation of methane-laced anal pasting just to pace your need-to-nose taste, that fatal promulgation.
Ooh.
So every morning I get up and I try to be creative, and that's what I created. I created fart poetry.
This morning? That was today's
yeah.
creative affirmation?
Yeah, creative affirmation. As I was sitting there, I was thinking, what can I do? And I thought, well, you know what? The phrase insofar as is always in my head. That's just me. Always. Every day.
We hear it a lot on the show.
Insofar as. I am a person. I say that a lot. Yeah. I feel like you're friend Silly McPilly Mickey. What's his name? Killy McFuck Me Ready? What's his called?
It's Willie McSillyputty.
Willie McMillyputty.
Not a serial killer leprechaun.
I think his. I want to hear it again.
Although okay. Marky Boy's birthday was popping, when the booze ran out, he went shopping. As Mark drunkenly thought about which beer should be bought, from his butt to his shorts, poop was dropping.
Everybody, yeah. So Mark is our listener today, and he's listening yeah. live, and I don't think anybody's ever listened.
That's never
live.
Happened. Never.
Comedian has called in unexpected before, and that's we let true. Him on the show, and he immediately drunkenly started talking about his balls.
Right.
And it was delightful.
Yeah.
But we've got Mark today. And
wait a minute. Let's just, again, sorry. He talked about his delightful balls, or the fact that he talked about his balls was delightful.
Everything about his balls was delightful.
Yeah, that's
both,
right. Yeah.
Both his balls and his discussion of his balls. If I could cite the episode so you could go back and listen to it, listener, Marcus, then I would, but I can't remember.
I just got a brilliant idea about Tim and his balls, and I'm legitimately serious. This is serious.
What are you gonna put them in your mouth? Hey!
sorry. I got way more energy than I need to this morning. Yeah, I know.
Fuck you, Jason.
That's right. So
nice.
Here we're gonna make a movie, and the movie is gonna have like demons in it and stuff, right? And we're gonna be in the crisis situation where like there's a demon who's attacking, and we don't know what to do, and everything's going to shit. And then somebody remembers Tim, the priest. Okay, in this movie, Tim is a priest, and he's old. Okay, and someone remembers. Wait a minute. Wasn't Tim the old priest talking about how his balls dangle down so low when he's taking a pooper that they touch the water? And someone's like, yeah. Well, if that happened today, that means his balls touch water, which means it's now holy water. So if we splash it on the demon will die. And then we do that. That's brilliant. That's a brilliant plot thing.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And if he had already taken a poop in the water, then it would be ass holy water. Gotcha.
What a terrible fucking podcast we're making. 138 yeah, episodes of ball jokes, fart jokes.
Well, dude, the last episode, well, the first half was just a discussion about, you know, the woke state of our society, or the woke state of Jason. But then yeah. it was like fartapalooza. It was all farts all the time. Last episode.
It was. So
maybe that's why you woke up this morning and started just writing about farting.
Probably.
Smelling your own fart. I yeah. understand your piece.
I do think people like to smell their own farts. I think they do. I think that they'll just, you know, be sitting by themselves in the office looking at Reddit, you know, maybe reading about political
humor. I'm going to admit that I do. When I rip one, especially if I'm alone, mm-hmm. I will take a little whiff to kind of just check out what just happened.
You want
to
make now, sure.
My wife, Laura Pauline, had caught me doing that once,
yeah.
And we almost fucking got a divorce.
Wow.
Like, that was unacceptable. She was like, did you just sniff your own fart? I don't even know if she saw – I don't know if she saw it, but I think she heard like she's like, and she was astonished.
Yeah.
At choice of mate at that point. And it was a big argument.
I can't believe,
though. So I
try
not to do that in front of her anymore, but I do with
what,
my
fart
own
or sniff?
Do you?
I think
you've all but admitted it. Done it.
I think from an evolutionary standpoint, the deal is you're running down the hill, and there's either your dinosaur is chasing you or you're chasing your dinosaur. In this scenario, you own the dinosaur. You're running.
In this scenario, we are creationists.
Yeah, and then you rip one, and then you stop and go, wait a minute, I got to smell if I got cancer, and you go, nope. Just beans, and then you keep going. I think that's what it is. I think, like, one time there was a caveman who's like running and he farted and he didn't like the smell, so he didn't detect that he had meningitis, and then he died of meningitis, and then he didn't propagate his genes, and then the next caveman did, and then his kids grew up like in their own farts too, and they were able to save themselves from, you know, encephalitis or whatever.
I didn't realize that cavemen were that sophisticated. Those are like some Fred Flintstone ass cavemen.
They didn't
walk around using woolly mammoths as vacuums and
no, I like just that. I don't think that okay, cavemen who were chasing dinosaurs and smelling their farts for, you know, Parkinson's disease didn't call it Parkinson's disease, Joe. They probably called it, you know, no. Right?
Yeah.
And like one caveman will go up to here, let's role play. I'll be the do you want to be the doctor caveman or do you want to be the caveman with what's a fun disease with lupus?
I want to kill this joke before it fucking comes to life.
You don't want to role play with me? Here, I'll
all
start.
All right, let's try it really quick.
Okay, okay,
I've got
ready?
To change the subject.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, shit. Okay, so what just happened there was a sexual encounter between two cavemen. Did you hear me come on your cave tits in the middle of the conversation?
Okay,
you seemed disappointed.
I thought my poem about liking my own farts was the bottom, but we've gone even further because now you're coming on my cave tits. Okay.
All right, man. So
I'm really glad this is the episode Marcus is listening to. Philip the Woodshed is listening to this right now, and he's probably going, fucking A, I hope my Wi-Fi stops.
I got to change the subject.
Okay.
I've been dying to talk about this. I'm shimmying. Okay. I got nipple tassels all on, and they're helicoptering.
All right, let me give you a topic changing intro. Ready? Here's Joe with a new topic.
Okay, so last time we were talking about offensive humor. Insensitive humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I would bring up electrocution humor.
Yeah.
Now, something that I laugh at, and I'll turn on YouTube and start watching this stuff just to brighten my morning, just to get the right start on the day.
Yeah.
And this is something that you probably wouldn't get fired from Saturday Night Live for this, but if you did this to Lorne Michaels, mm-hmm. he wouldn't just fire you. I think that he would have you killed.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's done
and
that
what
before.
What this is people play pranks on each other and they pretend like to their loved ones. One of these is like a guy and he goes and he calls his son into the room and he's like, I need your help with this. And he's working on a electrical outlet.
Yeah.
And he pretends to be electrocuted and his son is then traumatized forever. But
yeah.
There's clearly something wrong with my psyche because this shit cracks me up. I love it. I would never again. I'd get if I did that to Laura Pauline, fucking divorce immediately.
Yeah.
But I thought, and maybe it's not very good audio, but could you give us a couple of examples of that?
Sure.
And then I'd like to just discuss it briefly, if you don't mind.
So you want me to look this up on YouTube?
Electric, yeah, all you got to do is say
shock,
electrocution prank or electricity
shock
pranks.
Prank. Here we go. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so the first hit that comes up is the first survivor of Alzheimer's is out there. Okay, that's not what we want.
Yeah, we're
okay, electricity. Not on the right track.
That feeling when you're Halloweening.
Okay, it's a woman dressed like Daenerys, and her husband is a piece of bacon. Yeah, here we go. Electricity humor.
Yeah. What's that?
I don't know. Somebody just threw a pan down at another guy.
Okay, yeah. So there's two types of these. There's somebody's working on something electrical, and somebody comes up and, like, slams a cookie sheet on the ground behind them to make them think they're going to die. That's really fucking terrible, too.
Here's a dude is sticking a screwdriver into a wall. Another guy is holding a flashlight so he can see it.
Yes.
And the guy, this is the best part, the guy holding the flashlight is also eating a banana. Oh.
Okay.
Oh, he shoves a banana in his face. Okay.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things about this is the people that are pretending to be electrocuted, they normally laugh out of their performance. And that's my favorite part for some reason.
This one is somebody's. Oh, okay. Now he's gonna throw a shoe at him. There. Okay. I don't know what this one is. These people do not know how to hold a camera. There's the electric box. No. Yeah, I don't. You're right. Oh, okay. This guy grabbed a pole and starts jiggling. Sorry.
Yeah, that one's pretty rough. I think this is the same video that I normally watch. A little bit further on, there's a guy that pretends to get electrocuted at an outlet in his house, and the sound that his friend makes in response is just so good.
Okay, let's see. Oh, okay, I see. This is one.
That's fucking funny.
Now, that was the guy traumatizing his son.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, here's
that
two dudes.
That's not as funny because I can actually feel the kid's emotional pain.
Yeah, he kind of looked like you too.
But if you keep going, this guy,
I think this
guy
one.
Basically turns into like the you know in a cartoon when a rat, like a 50s cartoon, a rat will come into the kitchen and the woman freaks out and stands up on the chair.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Oh, damn! He decked him. Okay, so this one, the guy freaks out. Another dude just punches him in the face. That had to be scripted. Here's a guy in camo shorts.
Sarah, can you turn a light and we'll do these electrics?
Nope. No, that's not the one.
Hurry! I'm sorry!
Oh, now this woman is beating her husband. It's not... Was it this one? I keep saying this one like you can see these.
No, it wasn't that one.
Everything's all green. Okay, here we go. Ready? Okay.
Can we get another topic changer thing? And then
I think that's a good idea. We'll talk about something else.
And here's Jason with a new topic.
October is approaching, ladies and gentlemen. And with October comes the one thing that everyone loves more than anything else, and that is the subject that I'm going to be talking about, which is the month of November. That's right. After October, every October, after every October, there comes a November, which is the month before December. Joe, okay, new subject. Here's Joe with a new topic. I'm just going to press buttons. This is a disaster. We need to go back to farts, because apparently when you talk about what you know, you're funnier.
Well, let me tell you a little story about Marcus. Philip the Woodshed.
Philip the Woodshed.
Yeah.
Do you get that, by the way, audience? It's not Philip who is a woodshed. It's that he's filling up the woodshed.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I blame the low quality of this podcast on Marcus because he's listening to us.
And we're trying too hard.
And we're trying to make him laugh. And we're trying way, too, way hard. Too hard.
Way too hard. Yeah.
Well,
you know what I blame? You know what I blame the low quality of this podcast on? My propensity for interrupting you.
Yeah, it's pretty
because I'm always interrupting you.
All right.
No matter what you say, I like to interrupt you. Sorry. Go ahead. Okay.
Fuck you, Jason.
God damn. I was walking over a bridge with Mark once, and this was when he was 19, and I was 18, probably. Spoiler alert: he's a year older than me, or maybe he's two. Anyway, we're walking over this bridge. And I said, you know, this that there's really shallow water in this pond below us. It looks like it's deep, but it's really shallow water. And he was like, oh yeah, or he was trying to convince me that it was shallow.
Okay,
I think is how it goes. And he climbed down the kind of stone wall of this bridge, and he jumped in to the pond, and I'll be goddamned, it only came up to his ankles. So he looked like Jesus Christ, like walking on water.
Looked like a footless Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And he took a couple of steps, and then he fell submerged into the water. There was a hole in the pond or something. I don't know what happened. But then he comes to the surface, and he starts screaming, and he starts throwing these bags onto the bridge. I didn't know what was happening, and I looked at the bags, and there was bags of like marijuana and psychedelic mushrooms in the bag. So he was trying to save his drugs. He had drugs in his pocket, and he didn't want them to get wet. So he just immediately started throwing bags of street drugs onto the bridge. That's my story about Marcus. And we got him out of there, and we gathered the drugs, and we ran back to my dorm room. True professionals.
I like that story, though. That's a good story, because it's indicative of the evolution of Philip the Woodshed, who have gone from drug-toting, pond-walking, footless Jesus to the woodshed-filling, college-aged kid dad having really awesome for a bachelor party house-renting best man that he is today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and do you know, his job today is a little bit – it's counterintuitive, because he's basically a hermit with his wife in the middle of the woods. He chops his own wood. He doesn't need to. He's on the grid, but he's way the fuck out there.
Right.
And he's actually – him and his wife run an escort business.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's in the middle of the woods. You haven't met a whole lot of pimps that just live right in the middle of the woods and that have long hair and a beard and are chopping their own wood.
Right. He's like,
and you might ask, like, how does he kind of coerce money out of his defiant prostitutes?
Yeah,
and, he does it over phone. He does it via text.
Okay,
you know.
Oh, so they're not
logically savvy.
They're not working in the mountains. They're working in wherever they're working. And he calls up and says, "Yo, prostitute, where's my money?" And they're like, "Oh, Grizzly Philip, we ain't got your money." He's like, "Am I going to have to take a chainsaw to a prostitute?" And they're like, "Snap, all right, we'll Venmo it to you."
No, all of his employees work in the inner city across the – he's got hoes in different area codes.
Different hoes in different codes. Multinational? Is he like got Tokyo hoes?
I'm not sure. We'd have to check in with him. But there he does have hoes all over the place. He tried to just pimp – girls out in the middle of the woods in the Rocky Mountains for a while, but it didn't. I don't know. A couple of raccoons and bears wanted some action, but they didn't have any money.
I'm not trying to diss sex workers who work in forests. I'm just saying that if Snow White was Ho White, she probably would have been like, "Screw you, dwarfs. I ain't need no apple kissing prince to wake. I'll go kick you. Bring her here." Talking about the evil witch. "I will mess her up."
I don't know. Well, funny that you say the evil witch, because that's kind of the aesthetic of the prostitutes themselves. That's Marcus looks for kind of theme hoes,
and
he does the kind of evil stepmother hoe. He does the evil witch, hoe, that type of thing.
Does he
he panders to fetish Johns.
Gotcha. Does he do like the prince hoe or like? He's like, I call him up, I'm like, "Hey, Philip Woodshed, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into a castle, and I'm going to pretend to be asleep, and I need some hot man-ho to come in and kiss me awake, and then we'll screw. Can I get one of those?"
That type of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Fairy tale hoes.
Yeah.
But he, again, it's kind of fetishy. He gets the unconventional beauty.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the evil witch from Snow White is ugly.
Well, when she's in hag mode,
she's not like a Barbie doll.
No. Well, I mean, the evil witch is like Was she the one who was like, mirror, mirror on the wall, I'm hot. And the mirror is like, bae, you used to be, but now Snow White is the shit or whatever. I don't know. I can't speak straight. I'm 40 goddamn 7 years old and white as Snow White is.
Well, Marcus can't speak street pimp anymore, mm-hmm. but right. he's got the text. He's got the IM shorthand down.
Okay.
So he's like, he's typing stuff like,
right.
give me all, not half my cash, bitch.
Right.
Stuff
right.
like that.
So okay,
but it's all like abbreviated text
so,
style.
Let me see if I got this straight. So in the inner city, there's a, let's say, a young woman or man who's like, I look good in these dwarf clothes. Maybe I can make something of this. And so they're like, hey, you want to fuck a dwarf? And then Philip texts them and says, you trying to pull tricks on my turf? And they're like, LOL, who is this? And he's like, I'm your pimp. And then they Venmo him 90% of the money when they pretend to be one of the dwarfs. I mean, is that what we're talking about here?
I guess that's a feasible scenario
okay.
in his business.
Yeah. What about, I mean, is it just evil forest fairy tales? Or is it the whole Disney thing? Like, what if I wanted to pretend to be,
one
I want to be.
Hoes, it's a female prostitute.
Yeah.
But she dresses up like Jules from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
So she dresses up like Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
And she like she points a gun at you
and
says, say what one more time, motherfucker. And then, the weird fetish guy gets a boner.
Yeah.
He's dressed like John Travolta. And then for some reason, John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson have sex.
Oh,
and
okay.
then boom, Marcus gets Venmo'd.
Okay. In that vein, I was hoping I could be. I'm John Travolta standing in the doorway and I left my quote unquote gun. That's my cock. Out and Bruce Willis comes in and he grabs my cock and he shoots me with it. Well, do I have
that
to?
That is the type of thing that happens. If you wanted to set up that scenario,
yeah, that's
could,
what I'm gonna
we
do.
We can make it happen. Any fairy tale, any movie, children's show,
He does
certain rock bands,
okay.
boy bands.
That's his job. That's a good job. That's noble. It's a noble profession. Can you believe we've been only doing this for 37 minutes? Feels like way longer. What else do you want to talk about?
We need a palate cleanser.
We do.
I'm so sad that Marcus is listening live to our worst episode ever.
Okay, so I think this is a thing that we have to just accept, right, about us. Like, we did a lot of episodes, and you said, hey, Baby Jeans Povami, or whatever his name is, why don't you listen to our episodes? And, like, you sent him some of our best stuff, but he chose our worst episode to review, and that's why they think we're from the South and have sex with each other. Okay, so whatever. So yep. Marcus did not come on for Overfluffed or Underfluffed or one of our good episodes. He came on for this pile of crap. That's the way it works, dude.
It's like the Streisand effect.
It is.
And it's also – and we do that a lot. I wanted to talk with you about the Streisand effect.
Okay, let's do that.
When we fuck up, we call attention to it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll make clips of us fucking up and play it on the next episode.
Yeah.
It makes it painfully obvious that we're not professionals and that we do a bad job. And then I argue for us to cancel the
right.
show. I give examples of how terrible we are.
And you haven't done that for a while. You have not argued for our cancellation. Maybe that's the problem.
No, I haven't done that for a long time, but I think this episode suffices.
Absolutely.
It is an argument for cancellation.
It is.
But check it out. So the Streisand effect. Can you explain the Streisand effect?
Okay.
Marcus.
Yeah. So this happened a while ago. Once upon a time, somebody took a picture of Barbara Streisand with her finger in her nose, and she was eating a fish. I think she was dancing. She might have been wearing a muumuu or a kimono or – no, a kilt. I think she was wearing two kilts. She had a finger in her nose. She's eating fish. She's wearing three kilts, and she was on fire. And someone said, look at this picture I found. And then Barbara Streisand got on Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and Tumblr and Facebook and Feedback and Friendster and Friendback. And she said to everybody, please, nobody look at or share pictures of me wearing three kilts with a finger up my nose on fire dancing the Watusi. And everyone, of course, said, well, now that you told us about it, we have to. And that's the Streisand effect.
Yeah, she told people not to look at a fucking photograph online, and of course, it went viral.
Yeah.
Because she called attention to it.
Yeah.
So that's what we do all the time, and it's almost like it's like quantum physics. Like, well,
it is.
If you pay attention to something, it behaves differently, and that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
We're being observed live.
Yeah.
And it has altered the course of the show. I'm just blaming Marcus.
It's his fault for everything. Do you remember that time you were walking down the street and you slipped and fell and hit your head? Marcus.
Yep.
What else did he do?
Well, a huge meteor hit the planet and all the dinosaurs became extinct, and I'm pretty sure that's Marcus's fucking fault.
Meteor. Boom. Bat. Death. Oil. Cars. It's his fault.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, then that makes him basically responsible for the human race.
Yeah, that's right.
Evolved.
Yeah, and every fucking bad thing that's ever happened to a human was caused by another human. Everything, except for thunderstorms. But that's him, too. And lightning, also him.
I wanted to let you know, Marcus takes issue when, if we're listening to a song together and I sing along and I start singing it Bee Gees style, it's really irritating for him. Okay. We were listening to like Superfly. What's that guy's name? Superfly. I can't remember his name. Anyway, we were listening to Superfly or some song on that album, and all of a sudden I was like, and he was like, "Don't you fucking Bee Gees that shit."
Close your I was going to ask you, because I think it's funny, if Mark Philip the Woodshed has any pet peeves, and that is one. And so now we're going to do that. I'm going to play a song, and you're going to Bee Gees it, because I want to hear this. What's a good Bee Geesing song? What's a good song for Bee Geesing?
I don't know. Pick a Motown song.
Sunshine, my only sunshine.
No, this is an ad for a hospital where babies get cancer. Here we go. Let me turn it up. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Do it.
This sounds like Staying Alive.
Oh, it's not.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman, man. No time to talk.
There's a delay. There's no way I'm going to be able to sing along.
Oh, yes, you will. Go for it.
There is superstition.
Keep going.
Writings on the wall. Writings on the wall.
All right, that's enough. Do you want to hear Barry Gibb having an orgasm?
Yeah. That's how you always make that sound, though. I never knew you, because whenever you do your orgasm thing, it's always that.
Normally I throw "oh shit" in there, you know.
That's true.
Like
you do.
If the count from Sesame Street was coming, he'd be like, oh shit,
I just here.
Baby, this lady is about to have a baby, huh? Any day now,
or in 3 months. Thank you.
Hey, tell the nice lady what you know about babies.
Babies like to breathe and they're good at hiding it. I put a pillow over a baby. I thought she wasn't breathing, but she was. She was sneaky, but I'll try again.
That is so out of context, I don't even know what to say, but I played it for Joe earlier.
Oh, that made my blood run cold.
Yeah.
And you guys, that wasn't a real child, though.
No, right? It was. That was my child. That was my child. And our nanny.
That was an interview with your child?
Live, just now. He walked in the room. And that's how I talked to my kid. I called him Beckett, and I talked to him with a feminine voice, because that's how he responds. And that was not a scene from a movie called Away We Go. I don't know why I brought that up. Your blood ran cold. That's kind of creepy, because your blood is pretty hot. You got hot blood. You're hot-blooded. Can you do Andy Gibb hot-blooded by, what is it? Is that Foreigner? Yeah.
Check it and see.
How about that?
That's pretty good, but I want to do it while the song's playing.
It won't work with the delay.
No, it does. It works better with the delay. Trust me. Go for it. Now you move so fine. Joe. Let me lay it on the line. Joe.
I don't know the lyrics, dude.
Just make some shit up. Go for it. Here you go. Now it's
on to you. You. We can secret rendezvous. Just me and you. Me and you.
I find that way too fucking amusing.
Dude, I'm getting lightheaded. I'm lightheaded doing Andy Gibb.
I like it. That's pretty good. All right, we got 3.5 minutes left. Let's try to...
Oh, thank God.
Let's try to bring this back together. I think that this episode is proof positive that we can survive even the shittiest of shit.
We did not survive.
We did. We're at minute 58. We're not staying alive. Yeah. You know what? Okay, you remember... Here, I'm going to give you another challenge. You remember when you did R2-D2 and Chewbacca having a conversation?
Well, yeah, it was Chewbacca and R2-D2 having sex, actually. Yeah.
Well, but okay. Here's your challenge. Can you do those two again, but add in Andy Gibb?
No, please don't make me do that.
No, and it doesn't have to. Okay, originally your original impetus was not sexual; it was just a conversation, right? And then it became sexual because it's so goddamn funny.
Yeah, because it sounded like them fucking. I didn't realize it. I put together a piece of them talking, but then
how about this? Andy Gibb is like at a show of some kind of performance, and he's just reacting, not sexually necessarily.
Okay. Yeah.
Like he's reacting to something.
Is it Barry Gibb or Andy Gibb? I don't know which.
Whichever Gibb. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
So he's excited at a 4th of July show.
Or, yeah, so no. What am I thinking? God, I'm so stupid. October, Halloween, Spook House. Mm. Andy Gibb in a Spook House. Come on now. Andy Gibb in a haunted house.
Well, so he's walking through a dark hallway.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, Shaggy Two Dope from Insane Clown Posse fucking jumps out and he's got a meat cleaver. And Andy Gibb's like,
yes.
I just realized that my wife is trying to sleep in the other room and I've been screaming like fucking Barry Gibb. She probably thinks someone's getting murdered in here, but she hasn't come to see if I'm okay.
Well, maybe that's her alarm clock. And, you know, your wife listens to Andy Gibb screaming to wake up. It's a good way to wake up.
So I wanted to present you with some lyrics. I've got a rough draft, actually. The reason why I was thinking about the Bee Gees is because I wanted to obscenitize a Bee Gees song.
Yeah, like you do. That's obvious.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of lyrics that I'm playing around with. Well, actually, I only came up with the one line, and then I stopped because I was kind of ashamed of myself.
Okay.
And it's from Staying Alive, and I am going to do this. I'm letting the cat out of the bag. I'm going to do Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. I'm going to Bee Gees that shit.
Bee Gees.
And here's the first line. So I took out my ink and quill, and I lit a candle, and I went to work, and I came up with this one line. You want to hear it?
Yeah, I do.
Well, you can't smell your mama's anus on my cock.
You are so filthy.
Your mom.
Oh my God. There's no way we'll ever be able to take any of this and go anywhere with it. That's why it's so pure. No one would ever be able to accuse us of selling out because no one will buy it.
No one will ever pay.
That's right. Oh, it's so... That's... You could smell my... It's like mama's anus on my... God, what?
But, you know, like, you can't tell by the way I fuck your mom. I'm an anus man, fucked in the bum.
This is the kind of humor that I will chastise my son for liking.
Well, do you know, can you guess what the title of the song is?
I'm Fucking Your Mom?
Yeah, that's right. Instead of Staying Alive, it's Fucking Your Mom.
Well, there you go.
And then I was going to do, you know that well, it's not a remake, but remember when Wyclef Jean did like a rap over the Staying Alive thing?
I didn't know he did that. Did he do that?
Yeah, and he made a real creative name. I think it's called We Trying to Stay Alive.
Okay, We Be Trying to Stay Alive. Gotcha.
We Be Trying to Stay Alive. Yeah, so then I was going to upsonitize that, and guess what I was going to call that?
We Be Trying to Fuck Your Mom.
Yes. Sophisticated, full spectrum humor. That's
we should
I'm
do
aiming.
A whole episode of a whole hour of you and I coming up with things, some titles to parody. Like, hey, have you seen that movie Saving Private Ryan? You mean Saving Your Mom to Fuck Her or something? I don't know. That was bad.
Oh, it's terrible. See, I am better at this.
You are way better at this.
You are. That's my job on the podcast.
Saving Your Mama's Anus? There. I saved it. I there.
Well, you know, like a Fuck Your Mom Pulp Fiction would be called Gulp Diction.
No, I want you to go even more basic than that, is what I'm saying. It's like a Fuck Your Mom Pulp Fiction would be called Fuck Your Mom.
Right? Just you don't even try anymore.
You don't even try. Yeah, yeah. Hey, what movie do you want to go see?
If there was a Fuck Your Mom's Terms of Endearment, I'd call it Sperms of Your Momnet.
Sperms in Your Mom's Rear. Or, yeah. Sperms. Okay. All right. Challenge then. We got a couple minutes of freaking Roig Sob left, and this show's a shit show as it is.
Yeah, challenge me.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
One of your mom's titles.
The English Patient.
The English Penis in Your Mom.
So bad. Okay. Okay. The Piano.
I thought that was brilliant.
It was actually pretty good. Yeah. The Piano.
Right. What? The Piano?
The Piano.
The Pianist in Your Mom. Okay. That's terrible. Let me try again. That
okay. All right. I mean, you want to give you a different one?
Underwell. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, why can't I think of a movie title? The Joker.
Any old movie.
The Joker.
The Choker.
Yeah, yeah.
Your mom choking on my penis.
Yeah, on my penis, right. Okay. Shoot. You need to shout something. 10 seconds to go. Last movie. Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. Shout
Snow
it.
Snow White!
No, that's it? I wanted you to penisify, or fuck your momify it. Snow White.
I'm fucking your mom!
No, I want you to take Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, that title, and fuck your momify it.
Your Mom and the Seven Cocks.
And then you have to shout it. It's in the show.
No.